Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Friday, July 15th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free on the Internet through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice. On the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it'll take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for almost 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also just click a link and download the PDF file of that tool itself. It's a simple PDF file. Download it, print it out, copy it as often as you'd like, and use it over and over again, absolutely free. And there's a tremendous amount of information and tutorials. There are a host of audio files that you can download absolutely free. Again, you don't even need to add your name to a mailing list or pay anything to get access to the tool and a whole host of audio files which can serve as a tutorial for how to apply that tool in your life to greater and greater benefit in a variety of situations. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness, and before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. If you choose to tap on that, it will let you download a completely free and private app. The app contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. And we hope people do all of those things soon and often because it frequently leads to an improved quality of life and relationships for people when they apply those tools in their life. It also tends to promote comments, questions, answers, testimonials. And if you have any of those to share with us, please feel free to do so by either emailing tjh at mindshifters-academy.org or Jeannie at J-E-A-N-I-E at whyagain.org. That's W-H-Y-A-G-A-I-N.org. Alternatively, you can give us a call at 563-999-3581 and press 1 on your phone, and that will put a little icon of a hand by your phone number, and I will turn on the microphone and announce you by your area code. Should you choose to do that, we would welcome it. As I like to mention, even when we are in the middle of a monologue, as occurred yesterday. If something strikes you and you would like to add a comment or a question, an answer or a testimonial, please just call the number 563-999-3581 and press 1. I'll either instantaneously turn on your microphone as soon as I see that the hand is raised, or wait for the what seems to me, anyway, to be the appropriate time in terms of the flow of the show. So today's a Friday, and we are working through the Way of Mastery, Lesson 16. And as I've mentioned before, I think the way that is most useful for me to look at Lesson 16 is that it is giving my conscious logical mind something to sit with, something to chew on, something to get distracted by, and or something to let it give me the motivation to continue to practice these seemingly esoteric and rather impractical exercises that are being recommended on a regular basis. And it is as I mentioned yesterday, and I was beginning reading, it's as though chapter 16 itself is a koan, is a self-contradictory statement that can busy the conscious logical mind and let the unconscious or the higher consciousness or the Christ mind or the influence, the creative influence of your creator itself, step in and show you something, reveal something to you that you cannot get access to through your conscious logical mind. And we were even repeating one of those key points in the support group last night, because where I was picking up the reading yesterday, there's a point where it says, now in this ceaseless movement from that which never moves. Well, there's a self-contradictory statement. And if you're talking to somebody who's just looking at words at the surface level, at the logical level, this will seem like absolute gobbledygook to them. How can you have ceaseless movement from something which never moves? And to my mind, the entire lesson 16 is presenting things like that for my conscious logical mind to be occupied with, so that something deeper, something more esoteric, something more poetic, something more vibrationally basic, fundamental, can step in and affect my experience of life. And the headings of Lesson 16 that we started with, the title of the lesson is The Birth of Egoic Consciousness. And the first heading is, the first level of creation is pure spirit. And in a previous lesson, that was the title of it, You Are Unlimited Spirit, Lesson 13. And so now, they're talking about, so when did this happen? It happened in a when before time. So it doesn't even make any sense to talk about when it happened, because at the moment that this was happening, there wasn't time. How could there not be time? Because there wasn't any physicality. And time is driven by thought, and there was no thought. And time is thoughts about the movement of objects through space, and there was no space. There were no objects. How's that to get your conscious logical mind spinning and convinced that this is just gobbledygook. So then the first segment of Lesson 16 talks about the first level of creation, pure spirit, consciousness. And that existed from, you know, before there was time, before there was any physicality, and before there was any sense of you being separate from me, or you being separate from anyone else, or you being separate from your creator. There was no individuated sense of self that we call soul, S-O-U-L. And then the next heading in Lesson 16 talks about the creation of the soul, the creation of the thought, and then the creation of the thought of separation, or the experience of separation before even thought. And if your mind isn't spinning enough, then it goes on to talk about, in the third heading of Lesson 16, the creation of the physical universe. And, you know, right before we get to that, it's talking about how was there a creation of something out of nothing? How was there a creation of something physical from a space and time and energy where there was no space, there was no time, there was no energy, and there was nothing physical? And what they're talking about is that the essence of creation, consciousness itself, is always creating, is always expanding, and in this creative, expansive, playful expression of itself, it decided to create the impression of being able to be different from itself. And it says, you know, like, from the conscious logical mind, we say, well, you know, that God can't be different from itself. But then it points out that, you know, if there is a God, if there is a source of creation, and it is limited, one of the limitations you're talking about is that it couldn't be different from itself. And the essence of the creative force, all that is that it's not limited. It's ever expanding. It's infinitely expanding. So the one mind, the one energy of creation, creates an experience of a drop of itself along with the perception that it perceives itself as something separate. Separate from what? Separate from all that is. That can't be. Okay, but if I say that can't be and the creator couldn't do that, then I'm saying the creator is limited. So the dream of separation is born, and in the instant of the dream of separation has been born, the energy of fear has been born. Because the dream of separation is a dream. The dream of separation is a hallucination. It is an illusion. There is no separation. All energy, all consciousness is connected. So when we create an experience of being separate and isolated, we're creating an energy, an experience, and that this book is calling that fear. Fear has been birthed, and with it the thought, I'm alone. I am not that other point of light over there, or that point of light over there, or that point. I'm not the creator. I'm all by myself. I'm alone. I'm lonely. I'm scared. I'm small. And as the energy of fear continues, the contraction, the condensation, the descension. Now, they're using these words, but this was all happening, and there were no words, and there was no space to contract from. This is all at a thought level, at a level of energy that's completely non-physical. And then, what has burst forth instantaneously, because this is not requiring time, because there is no time, because there is no space, in the next being moment, a multitude of infinite multidimensionality, which is creation, comes into experience, comes into being. And when that's happening, the physical universe still hasn't been birthed. There's not a single atom or molecule or dust cloud. There's nothing. The physical universe requires a concept of time. For only in time does the physical dimension exist. And every sense of otherness is born of this energy that we call fear, this hallucination of separation. And the next heading in Lesson 16 is the creation of the physical universe. The text reads, in this multidimensionality, which is still pervaded and is as light, capital L, light itself, the condensation continues. And here, your scientists begin to tap into it, so that you can see how many steps removed they are from what they think of as the creation of the universe, because they're only looking at physicality. They're looking at what they can measure in terms of light and light waves and this most recent telescope that's sending us pictures. The Webb telescope is sending us pictures of stars and galaxies, and it's telling us that the light that we're looking at from some of these farthest galaxies is light from 13 billion years ago. Now, there's another level at which our conscious logical mind can't even begin to experience that or understand that. But that 13 billion years ago, the birth of these stars, the birth of these galaxies, the birth of the universe, 13.84 billion years ago, is all happening after what we were just reading about. The multidimensionality, the consciousness of the creative mind, the impulse to experience itself as other and different, all of that's happening before there's any physicality. But our scientists only begin to tap into it at the level of physicality. But here, light continues to condense into the particle of matter. Again, the explosion occurs as the one basic atom, or atom, A-D-A-M, explodes in the Big Bang. And the multitude of bodies, of planetary bodies, including your central sun of your tiny little universe, all of that is birthed. The physical universe of which you are a part as a human being is vast beyond your comprehension. Yet it is as a tiny speck of dust. It is as a tiny speck of light floating seemingly freely like a tiny drop of milk that seems to have separated itself from the body of milk. And it is unaware of the multidimensionality of the radiant light and the spirit and the creation in which it floats, out of which it has been given its very existence. You are, therefore, not outside of spirit, capital S, spirit. You are held lovingly. Your whole physical dimension is held lovingly in the center of spirit, of consciousness, of the Christ mind, of the God head, the God mind, the one mind. Although, and this is critical now, it's still there, it's still experiencing, consciousness is holding everything, but now that creativity is expressing itself more and more out of fear, out of the dream of separation, out of the experience of physicality, out of an experience or a perception of separateness. That's why it's saying it's being created more out of fear. It's expressing itself more and more out of the experience of individuation and separation, which they're tying directly to the energy of fear. The original energy of creation, the original mind, Christ mind, mind of the Creator, was synonymous with joy, bliss, love, expansion, extension, acceptance, surrender, allowance. But now that physicality has been birthed and time has been created, that creative energy is expressing itself more and more out of this energy of fear, this belief of separation, this dynamic of mental emotional contraction rather than expansion and allowance and acceptance, rather than out of pure joy. The text goes on and says, it's like taking a note of a flute and muffling it slightly so that it has a different quality. Yet it is still just pure energy. For what can be fear but energy? Fear can only be another form of energy. As the Course in Miracles says over and over again, there is either only love or fear. In this book, we had that lesson 15, the previous lesson, which says love or fear, the choice is yours. There's only one or the other. There is only everything that is, or an illusion or hallucination or dream about it. That's all there is. So it says, it's like taking a note of a flute and muffling it slightly so that it has a different quality. Yet it is still pure energy. For what can fear be but energy? Just as love is energy, compassion is energy, sadness is energy, and anger is energy. It's all one thing. The text asks, do you see? Fear is just an energy and nothing more. In itself, it is perfectly neutral, for all events are neutral. And fear, being merely a dance or a play of energy itself, must be neutral, entirely neutral. It's neutral until something arises to perceive and experience it differently. And what is that? That is the birth of egoic consciousness. So there is the physical universe, which is a product of condescension, condensing, contracting, the creative mind deciding to experience itself as separate. And that expansion and contraction and developing of a sense of self and then the sense of a soul is separate from other souls, all of this happens before the creation of the physical universe and is the reason or the dynamic under which the physical universe comes into being. And fear, being merely a dance or a play of energy itself, must be an entirely neutral event. And it remains neutral until something arises in this flow of creation to create perception and to create an experience and to create the experience of fear as something other than just energy. And that can only happen with the birth of the egoic mind. The title of the next section reads, Fear Has Taken Its Final Form. Here, fear has condensed into its final form. There can be no further condensation of the energy that has become fear, for egoic consciousness is fearful consciousness, F-U-L-L. Egoic consciousness is born from the dream of separation. The dream of separation is what is called the energy of fear. The ego is fear. yet it is made of pure power, pure potentiality, unlimited creativity. It's the same energy of creation, just directed in a slightly different angle. The same energy that creates galaxies and stars and planets and people is the energy that creates fear. It's the same energy. The experience of fear, the mind of a person, the egoic consciousness is created from that same energy, from that same expansion of the creative force. There is no difference and there is no separation. The text goes on and reads, rest assured, you all have the experience of knowing just how ceaselessly creative the egoic mind can be. For without ceasing, it knows how to immediately look upon another brother or sister or event or anything, and just that fast, in the twinkling of an eye, in a space that does not even require a thought, egoic consciousness can change its values, can change its perceptions, to create what it wants to create. And what it wants to create is that which continues its existence. You know, there are a number of different examples in our life, in the physical realm, of things that just do what they do, even if, as they continue to do it, it's going to lead to their demise. Just think for a minute. If you can think of any example of something that as it does what it does, eventually leads to its own demise. The one example that just popped into my mind was any population of herbivores, of grazing animals, what they do is they eat, they eliminate, they procreate. They eat, they eliminate, and they procreate, and they just keep it going. Well, as they do that, since everything has limitations, the habitat that they're in has limitations, and eventually they grow so in number that they use up all the food supply. And now they've got more mouths to feed than there is habitat to feed them, and they start dying off. And there's no thought involved in this the way we would have thought or planning or, you know, being able to be aware of our level of awareness, right? There's no stepping back from it. I used to talk about this in different ways. There's Homo sapien and Homo sapiens sapien. And what that means is he who knows and he who knows that he knows. Or she who knows that she knows. And so at the first level of awareness, every animal has a consciousness, has an awareness of the environment, has an awareness of the weather patterns, has an awareness of the predators, has awareness of the prey. So, you know, I would take the example and I would say, so here's a lion. And it's out on the Sahara and it's out there and it's waiting for, you know, the herd of antelope to come by, and here's a pregnant antelope that, you know, sprained its leg or whatever and is slower than the rest of the herd. And the lion goes and just devours it. It has no ability to think, well, now, wait a minute, if I let this thing give birth first, then it'll, you know, there'll be more, and then I can always, you know, either just eat the young one and let the mother keep producing, or, you know, eat the mother and let the young one grow up to produce. There's no no mitigation, no mediation of it. It's this impulse to do, and it's done. Even though if it does that too much, it leads to the demise of the lion because there's nothing left to eat. The same is being said of egoic consciousness here. Egoic consciousness, once it came into existence, just keeps doing whatever will create more of its impressions of itself. What it wants to create is only that which continues its existence. Now, in the book, as the text goes on, it says, so here's another example. Much like in the physical body, when a cell becomes cancerous and decides to run amok, and it can act as though it were not dependent on the laws of the body itself that keep the body healthy, so it begins to do what? It begins to create cells like unto itself. The end result is the death of the body. Now, this book goes on and says, cancer is merely a misperception run amok at the level of the body, and the body that is thinking for itself, creating its own image, rather than extending the image of the Creator and living out of harmony with the one mind that creates radiant joy, for no other reason than to extend the good, the holy, and the beautiful. Yet, creation does not create limitation, and therefore, it does not withdraw creativity from the power of the ego. Rather, because the Creator is love, all power under heaven and earth is available and can be tapped into by egoic consciousness. This is why we can have people who create a belief of separation, a belief in their hallucinations and illusions and their dream of separation, and create a belief in it that's so strong that they're willing to destroy other people, their habitat, even themselves, all because they're just doing what the egoic consciousness automatically does. So, what is egoic consciousness? You all know what it feels like to be absolutely certain that you are separate and alone, and that you must rely on your own thinking process, and that no one beyond, not just the boundary of your body or skin, but no one beyond your unique, contracted sense of I has any connection to you whatsoever, and that no one cares. Everybody has known that kind of a thought. And then you lament, oh, I'm alone, I'm separate. How on earth am I going to make it? I've got to figure out my own way. I've got to figure out how this world works. I've got to make it happen for myself. And now fear has taken its final form. And there is a complete forgetting about your connection to your source. A complete forgetting of the one, of the spirit consciousness that connects everyone, that is everyone and everything, even the soul. The body represents a level of vibration, still quite intelligent, still very intelligent. It is like a matrix of energy, the very thought of condensation into human form, out of which forms keep getting created, keep getting created, keep getting created, and keep getting created. You have done that for yourself an infinite number of times. The body is the representation of the ego. For notice that as you sit in your chair, you are quite certain that you are not the wall across from you. As you sit where you are in your chair, your consciousness, your awareness tells you that you are the reader and not the author. And you think, no, not me. I couldn't do that if I wanted to. Certainly, whatever Yeshua is doing makes him very special. I'm just this blob of dust. I'm this separate mind-body sitting in a chair reading or listening to words that are vibrating from this book with a certain meaning, and they're creating certain pictures and understandings in my mind, but these are being placed within me. I'm not that one. I'm not consciousness. I'm not the creator. That is egoic consciousness that says, I am not that one. I am not the creator. I am not pure spirit. I am not pure soul. I'm simply this little thing sitting in this chair now. And do you know something? You're absolutely right. You are just that little thing sitting in that chair. However, you're that and so much more. The egoic mind is that which creates the separated perception that is only one tiny thin slice of the pie. The egoic mind creates a delusion, a distortion in consciousness itself, like a little blip on a radar screen that tells the one watching the screen that there's something there, something out there. And the egoic mind says, I am separate. I am alone. I cannot think with the mind of God. I can't experience unity consciousness. I can't be as Yeshua was. Nope, not me. I'm too small and too weak, and I just don't have it together yet. Maybe someday. Yet, all the while, you are that one. And by the power of that one, you have created the potential to think the thought that I could never be like Yeshua is. I'm really too small, too fragile, too weak, and too stupid. Oh, well, Christ consciousness may be there for somebody else, but not for me. Notice what that little paragraph says. All the while, you are using the mind of creation itself to create the thought, I could never be like Yeshua is. I'm really too small, too fragile, too weak, and too stupid. I create the thought, oh, well, Christ consciousness may be out there for someone, but not for me. I use the power of the creative mind itself to create that thought and to create that experience of separation. The text goes on and says, the whole while that very thought uses and must use the power of the one mind. For that power is life, is all there is creation. That power is pure being. That power is the actual real world. That power is the only thing that exists, period. By the power of that one, you have dreamt the thought of the separate self. By the power of that one, when you decide to, you will awaken from the thought of egoic consciousness. So, as I'm reading this, I'm flashing on sessions I've been having with people all week long. Here we are on a Friday. And people in the therapy work that they do with me are basically doing the same kind of work that we're trying to get at here in the Way of Mastery. We're trying to awaken different levels of awareness for ourselves to have a different experience of life. First, to awaken to the idea that we are creating our experience of life. Everything from the thoughts we value to the emotions that we create when we pour enough of our mind energy into those thoughts. And if I buy into the conditioning of the culture and my family, I can stay stuck on the wheel. I can be like the cancer in my own life. I can be absolutely convinced that every time I'm arguing with someone, they're wrong and I'm right, or vice versa. I can get into the poor, pitiful me state where I think everybody else knows what's going on except for me.
So are you there, Susan Bingham? Hello? Hello, hello, hello.
Dr. Tim, are you still there?
Is this Susan Bingham?
Yes.
Can you hear my voice with any kind of clarity?
I can, but it's echoey, as if you're in a tin can, but it's certainly functional.
All right. It's just, I can barely make out what you're saying. We're having power outages here, so I'm losing the show.
Whether you can hear me, I don't know, but I certainly don't hear anything at your end now.